Nothing, just an incident.
That's what you get when you don't leave the space.
I am stupid.
Get in there, Lewis.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Fan Behavior and F1 Podcast. I'm Zoe. I'm back with Hannah.
Hi.
We are recording a touch early this week, but not too bad.
Like 72 hours.
Yes.
48-ish.
48-ish.
48 and change.
Yeah. Even less than 48, actually.
36?
Really think about it. Yeah, kind of. Maybe like 40.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just given when we typically record.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm glad we have that figured out.
Yeah. Glad you guys are up to speed on that.
So should there be any breaking news in the next 40 hours?
We don't know yet.
That's why we haven't covered it on the podcast. But how was your week?
Week is good. Happy it's Friday
it's
for
like,
us.
Yeah.
Excited about that. Going on a work trip that will also allow me to see one of my best friends and her new baby. So I'm excited. And yeah, ready for the work trip to be over.
Happy it's not a, well, I don't know. A part of me has been happy about the 1 week on, 1 week off.
Yeah.
But then there's also a part of me that kind of likes when we just get on to the next one, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's just a lot of waiting around and sort of stuff that people try to use to fill the space, like stories and news. That's just kind of, it's sort of, I shouldn't say pointless, but
yeah,
you just kind of want to move on to the next thing.
100%.
And I don't feel like we have a double header until Monaco, maybe Imola, Monaco, or I don't know. It's end of May. So we still have, even after China, week off.
Yeah. I am trying to like lean into it though.
Yes. Cause
I know when we start having double headers, that's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
So
I am very much using these off weeks for rest and relaxation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And to recharge, because yeah, exactly. It's going to be a lot. But after China is Miami.
Yes, it is.
Which we're very excited about. Obviously, you guys know we're going, which will be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten some messages from people asking if we're going to do a meetup or something while we're there. And I think we will do one, just TBD on like where it's actually. It's going to be during the weekend somewhere on the grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Just TBD as to when and where, if that is, because we haven't been before. And
it's also quite honestly something that may happen last minute.
Yes, it's going to happen.
Because since we've never been there, like I wouldn't even know where to like say like, where would be a good spot.
So if you're going to Miami, just keep tabs on our socials over the next, well, handful of weeks, but also
watch
while we're there.
This space.
And it will be between sessions. It's not going to be during
we're not masochists.
Qualifying or something.
No. And if you've been to Miami... And you have a suggestion of where might be a good place to meet up, let us know.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you're the pro in this situation.
You're the expert.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But despite the fact that there was no race this week, still a lot of news, a lot of Formula One news, kind of breaking news, honestly.
Certainly.
Which I think we should just jump into. Fernando Alonso has re-signed with Aston Martin. We talked
Color
about
me
this.
Shocked.
Yeah, we talked about this. Was it last week or maybe the week before?
I think last week.
That we felt like he was leaning towards Aston. It had come out earlier this week, or I guess by the time this comes out, last week, that that Fernando, I think was, the word on the street was that he was waiting to make his decision about Red Bull based off of if Max was going to leave or not. Because you know how there was kind of those rumblings about will Max
leave
to go
though.
And he still could. I mean,
sure.
There's still the option for him to leave if things implode. Because we're still sort of in this weird...
Yeah, like the dust has settled.
Yeah,
but like behind doors, it's
real,
probably
guys.
Still
and
a sandstorm.
And it is kind of like a little... I don't love how we're just kind of like continuing on with our lives. Like there's no, I'm like, okay, what's going on at Red Bull right now? Because
it's a cold case now.
Exactly. So anyway, he was waiting to see if Max was going to leave or not, because the reality is no one wants to race. No driver, especially of Fernando's
caliber.
And also, well, caliber, but more
ego.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm not even saying that as a bad thing.
Yeah, totally. He knows his limits.
I think it's a very risky move for a driver that's obviously at the back half of his career, mm-hmm. To test their legacy against Max
Verstappen. Yeah, 100%.
It's definitely a risk. So, but then Red Bull wasn't interested in waiting around for Fernando to make the decision. Anyway, it was announced he's staying with Aston Martin. I think he said a big reason for that was because of the Honda partnership that's coming in. Mm-hmm. I really feel like 2026, it's just going to be
anyone's game.
Big shakeup. Yeah. I can't wait. I mean, let's fast forward to 2026 because you've got Honda going to Aston. You have Ford fully going to Red Bull. You have Audi coming in. Mm-hmm. All these regulation changes. I mean,
the reg changes I'm most excited about, if I'm honest, just because I feel like everything's just going to get messed up.
But also, I feel like the engine partnerships can make a difference too. And we've seen how good Honda has been for Red Bull. So
I know it's curious.
What will that do for Aston Martin?
Yeah. And, you know, I love a Ford. I drive a Ford.
Yeah.
But it's just curious.
It's 100%. 100%.
It's curious.
I've never been, you know, there's a reason. I mean, it is, okay, this is what I'll say. It is not a shock to me that the Honda engine is the most reliable engine on the grid.
No.
Not even a shock at all.
Nope.
So.
Not a one.
And I do have to say, where the hell is Toyota in Formula One?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Because that would be reliable as hell.
Yeah.
Never break down.
No.
Anyway.
Just something to think about.
Something for people to think about.
We'd be happy to be your spokespeople.
Get Toyota on the grid.
As if Toyota needs us.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're
really
fun.
Struggling. So Fernando has and they said multi-year contract. Didn't specify how long.
I really hate that they do that. It's like, look, you sign pen to paper and there's a number in there.
There is, though, I bet the number is even
multi-flexed
for the driver, right? It's we talked about this with Nate when he came on. Sometimes it's like a 1+1.
I know.
It's in the driver's control or the team's control, yada, yada, yada. And it's a smart move for Fernando. It's a more stable position for him. He has Lance Stroll as his teammate. Mm-hmm. It's a good opportunity for him. Good place to be, I think. But this is now one piece of the puzzle that has now been filled in.
Yeah,
in terms of the grid.
It's added so many questions.
And
for
so
me.
Now I think the dominoes are going to start to kind of fall into place. And I think the biggest question, obviously, has been where is Carlos Sainz going to be? Mm-hmm. And
I literally almost said, where's Yuke's going? But it is where Carlos. That's the biggest question.
That's the biggest.
For the general public.
For the general public. Yeah. And because he's done such a great job this season and has performed so well. But the top seats are closing up around mm-hmm. him. It's interesting. Nate Saunders, our good friend.
Yes.
By the way, Nate also wrote or he messaged us and said that he had we got a lot of messages from people about their different cakes, birthdays
good.
And cakes and themes and got a lot of F1 themed cakes and stuff. So thank you to everyone who sent in the cakes.
Love.
And Nate was talking about that he had a bowling
nice.
Party. So
I'm sorry you never got one, but if you want one, there's always this birthday.
Right.
Keep me posted.
But anyway, our friend Nate Saunders, trusty source,
E-News of F1,
said that he felt like, and this wasn't, sorry, I should specify this, he wasn't saying this to me specifically.
This was
I made that sound like this was on his Twitter that he thinks the most likely spot for Carlos is Sauber/Audi or Williams, which I found interesting. There's also reports.
Why Williams?
That Carlos will go to Mercedes. Now, here's the tricky part for everybody involved. Mercedes is in a bit of a pickle. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously they're in a pickle.
Have been for a while.
They're not doing so hot.
No.
But the whole Kimi Antonelli thing. Mm-hmm. Kimi, for those who don't know, is a Mercedes junior driver. He's in F2 right now. He's like the new phenom, prodigy driver. And they're trying to decide, do we want to take a risk and put Kimi into the Merc seat right away?
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes made a mistake. I think they would admit this. Years ago, they had a chance to sign Max Verstappen when he was a young driver coming through, but they had no seats available for him at the time. Mm-hmm. Max was young. He was like 16 years old.
Jeez.
17 years old. Something like very, very, very young. And this was the Rosberg
Hamilton
years at Merck. I think the Williams seats were locked up and they had no place for Max to go. And the reason he signed with Red Bull is because they could put him in the Toro Rosso. And so obviously Max goes there. He wins a race. The race is his first race, gets promoted to the Red Bull, and obviously the rest is history. And I think they have obviously since regretted the fact that they didn't take a risk on the young driver at the time. And so now you have Kimi, who seems, I don't know if he's the next Max Verstappen, but seems to be the next superstar. But he's young. Do you put him in the Mercedes right away, or do you put him in the Williams? But the idea that even if he's in the Williams, whoever does get the Mercedes seat, they know in the back of their head, this is probably temporary because they're going to eventually want to bring Kimi into the seat.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So my question, I guess, is if you were Carlos, would you rather take the risk of going to Sauber, Audi, whatever? I mean, it's going to be Sauber next year, but then it's going to be Audi 2026. Not knowing like what it is at all, like having no sort of... it's just like a completely new project, but you know that you're going to be the guy, the leader.
Yeah.
Or would you rather go to Mercedes on maybe a shorter deal with less, it's a bit more of a risk, but it's a Mercedes team and maybe there's a chance you beat George.
If I'm Carlos, my gut would say that he wants to be the guy.
Yeah.
And so going to Merck, even if he could be the guy for a year and like maybe be better than George or whatever, I don't know. I just don't see him necessarily jiving at Mercedes. Now, that doesn't mean he wouldn't. Like when you said that about Max, it's like I could literally never picture Max at Mercedes. But also, if that's all I ever knew, I would never have been able to picture him at Red Bull. So, but I could see there being a lot of, just for Carlos's like psyche and who he seems to be, like there seems to be a, like I see him really enjoying being a part of the like startup of that group, like that team, the group, and like wanting to be a part of that and that being like his next challenge kind of a thing, and like just being able to like be the guy and make the choices. But it is still kind of like everything changes on a dime here. So in a way, even if it's maybe temporary at Mercedes, there still is a little bit more safety there because Mercedes isn't going anywhere.
Well, and they've proven that they can win championships. Right. They may not be winning them right now, but they can at least be like, yeah, we did win 8 constructors in a row.
Yeah.
We did win a number of drivers championships and we might be having a hard time now, but we can show you that we've done it before. Whereas Audi, they can't.
Right.
I also think, it's interesting. His name was floated around a little bit with the Red Bull seat, but the Red Bull seat, we said this before. It's just such a
specific,
it's so difficult because a Carlos, a Lando, a Fernando, whoever, it's just not the right place for someone like them, I feel like.
Yeah.
Especially Carlos. I feel like I just don't see the Carlos-Max dynamic working. Yeah. I mean, I know they've been teammates before. They were teammates back in the, I think it was Carlos's, both of their first years in Formula One. But I could just see that being kind of a bit of a tense experience. Mm-hmm. And again, Max is kind of a teammate. Like if you can't really compete with Max, it's like it's a very risky move. It's a spot for a driver like a Checo who's like on their last legs or towards the end of their career, who's just happy to be in a really good car.
Yeah.
And racing.
Or even like a Daniel or
a Daniel. Yeah. Right. Or it's a driver who's pretty comfortable being the second driver.
Yeah.
Which is basically, I think, an older driver who has maybe struggled their career or hasn't ever had like a great car, who's just happy to be in a good car and racing and whatever. So it's a very specific, it's like Red Bull's kind of gotten themselves in a bit of a tough spot because they kind of act like they could have anybody they want.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Totally. And it seems more likely that they would be filling the role with a newbie if they're not filling it with someone like
that's
a Daniel
true.
Or Checo, because they just want to get in the sport and they haven't like gotten to see the dynamic.
But the risk, I mean, we saw it with Alex, we saw it with
Pierre.
It's so risky for a young driver to go up against Max because it's just an immediate confidence killer. Like people have been wanting Liam Lawson to get in the Rebel seat. I'm like, I don't think that would be good for him. I think it would completely shatter your, especially if it's your very first, like first year or first couple years in Formula One.
Boy, and it might. I mean, he could also just totally perform. But yeah, it's a hard one. And I don't know. I think with Carlos too, like in fairness, he could go, you know, it doesn't sound like Kimi's still young and I feel like he's as good as he says he is. But, you know, we've now also seen the risk of bringing someone up because they did really well one time in F1 and then it fails. And if Merck did that, that would be a real... So can Merck switch around drivers with Williams the way that Red Bull... And okay, I didn't think so. But, you know, Carlos could be the best driver in Mercedes. You know what
totally,
I mean?
Like 100%.
Him going there, and because I know I said that earlier. And also... I feel like I'm now going back on what I said, but when you look at even just what they're doing right now, comparing Merck to Sauber, like totally, he would have a miserable time at Sauber.
Well, and honestly, selfishly, I kind of want to see George and Carlos as teammates. I want to see how that shakes out because we haven't seen George with a peer. You know,
he's
well, I guess we have Nicholas Latifi.
No, we haven't. Respectfully. No, we have not.
But,
even Will Buxton beat Nicholas Latifi.
Totally.
And we just like, let's us not forget.
But it's very different for George to be teammates with Lewis Hamilton versus Carlos Sainz. And I think it could be a little bit...
I think it could be fun.
I think it could be very fun.
Because I think what we've talked... And we talked about this a long time ago. And he sort of got into it. But like, I need a villain era from George.
Totally.
And that would... Has the potential to spark it.
Who would you be rooting for in a George Carlos team?
I genuinely think it would change by the race.
Okay.
Honestly.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think it would be closer. So I think it would just be like, you know,
we kind
flavor of the week.
Yeah. It could be great. It could be super interesting. Anyway, so I think Carlos's move is going to then dictate. It's once everything is kind of placed, you know, in its spot. I think Red Bull is leaning Checo, I think, again, because they don't have a ton of other. I mean, they don't have the balls to put Yuki in the Red Bull, which I still am like,
I think that's such a mistake.
I think it's such a mistake.
Like, just try it.
Just
one day. Just, you sent Daniel out for testing. Just put Yuki, just try it.
Just put him in the Red Bull next year. And then if it doesn't work, you can put him back into the...
Yeah, like, whatever.
Give us, just make it a little bit, like, I think Yuki, obviously we have no idea whether, who would be better in the car, but like, I kind of think Yuki would be better than Checo.
Yeah, it's also just, basically, if they keep Checo in the Red Bull, it's Yuki or Daniel, and I just have such a hard time believing that Red Bull, and unless Daniel like continues to perform the way he's been performing, I just have such a hard time believing that they're gonna let Daniel go.
I mean,
I'm not saying that they wouldn't, and obviously, like, for everyone involved, this, you know, the stats are the stats, and if he's not performing, then you got to go.
Yeah,
but it's also kind of that, like, relationally, like, how, you know, we all have coworkers that shouldn't have their job,
personality hires,
but they know the right person, and they are still here, and it's so curious, but it just begs the question of, like, we know Liam has a seat.
Right.
That's the word. We don't, you know, no one knows on what team or where. We all have assumptions. And so who's leaving?
Right. Well, I also read that Yuki is a potential for Audi. If Carlos doesn't go to Audi, there's a potential for Yuki to go there. They also want Nico Hülkenberg because German brand. Yep. So they want the German driver. That makes sense. If I'm Yuki and I'm not... and. If this continues and Yuki's doing as well as he's doing and Red Bull still refuses to put them
in
the
seat,
I don't
want to be there at all.
Then I'm like, why? What the hell? And I honestly would want to leave because then you can prove yourself outside of the Honda walls and show that you don't need Honda to have your seat and also you can be successful somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Because I just, and I also think from a Max and Yuki would be so interesting together.
Yes.
And I don't know. Again, Checo's done super well. It's not like he deserves to lose his seat necessarily.
Yet.
And, well, you know what's interesting? I saw that the in Japan, Max and Checo, they had a front row lockout. I think it was only the third time that Max and Checo have had a front row lockout.
Wow.
Yeah. Kind of crazy, yeah. Given the fact that they've had like the most dominant car for the last 3 years, give or take. And I think Checo, again, he's solid, he's good, but I do wonder in next year or 2026 or whenever, and maybe Checo just gets a 1 year extension. I don't think he'd want that. I think he'd want something a little bit more long term. But, you know, with everything changing, it might come back to bite you in the ass that teams like Ferrari has Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton. McLaren has Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Yuki is going to make you... I don't have the right answer. I'm just saying it might not be the right, ultimately the right
choice. Let's not write it off immediately.
Yeah. I would take my time if I was Red Bull to make my decision, because maybe wait till the summer break. Like, actually, maybe give it some time to figure out, to actually see how people continue to perform over the course of the next few months.
It's a concept.
Yuki, though, to Audi would be interesting. And I think, and to your point, for RB and Red Bull in general, I think they're, for just financially, their best case is that next year it's Daniel and Liam. I think that's what they probably would prefer.
Yeah.
I don't actually know if that's true.
I mean...
Or that would have been their choice prior to the season starting.
Yes.
Now, they probably, at this point, would prefer to have the faster driver. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
And I'm curious to see if they can fix Daniel's car.
Yeah. Well, or if he can fix his driving.
Nope. It's the car. What were you about to say?
I was going to say that another name that gets thrown around with Merck is Esteban. And I just need us all to...
That feels like nepotism.
But also, that would be Esteban and George's teammates. Now that... I would honestly sign up to watch
Spicy.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we forget the Alpine drivers, their contracts are both up. So Alpine's kind of a open
game. I don't think anyone's looking at Pierre, unfortunately. Do you?
No.
Can we bring back Cyril?
I mean, I ask myself that every day.
Every day?
2020, I do wish, well, I mean, God, I could go back. I mean, I can say this a lot. Like, I wish I could have been back for, or been a fan for this year or that year. But 2020, I feel like I kick myself that I didn't choose to watch Drive to Survive during the pandemic, like in March of 2020, because I could have gotten to see Renault Daniel getting podiums, being like one of the best drivers on the grid, Cyril as his team principal.
Mm-hmm. What a time.
Lewis winning a championship.
Yeah. I also just had the most random daydream that I wasn't tuning you out. It was just I said Cyril, and then in my mind I was like, well, or Otmar, obviously. Mm. But then I had this entire dream that played out just now where we're in Miami and we see Otmar, and I go up to him and I say, Otmar, bonjour. But he doesn't get the joke because he was just saying hello in France.
He would never get it. He would never get it. But if you if we do see him, I would like you to do that, and I'll film it. Put it on social media.
I just want to take a selfie with him.
Selfie. It could be a live picture, and we could just say, on three, bonjour.
Totally. Oh, I love that. Locking that in.
Anyway, driver market is in flux. I'm curious to see what happens next.
But it's begun.
It's begun.
Because the Ferrari thing was a big deal, obviously, like shook the internet, well, our corner of it. But this is like where things really start to fall.
Yes, exactly.
Because now we have...
And as certain pieces get put into place, it then affects everything else.
Well, because doors are starting to close.
Exactly.
Well, a door closed.
And I think we also, you know, we said Liam, I think Ollie Bierman's probably going to get one of the Haas seats. I think as of right now, you know, not looking likely for Logan to get another year. True. So there's a Williams seat up for grabs. Who might... You know what else I would love?
What?
Yuki to Williams. Yuki and Alex together.
Oh, that would be fun.
That would be fun. Or if Esteban leaves to go someplace, Yuki to Alpine.
Oh my God, it never occurred to me that they could be teammates again. Oh, that would be fun.
That would be so fun. And
so Yuki, fun. Alpine really needs the attention.
Yuki having to like learn some French.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Hilarious.
French curse words.
Hilarious.
Yuki in pink.
Who said
By
that?
The way, where is the pink camo livery? Like that was meanest.
Weird. Yeah. It's because they were overweight. They needed to strip all the paint off the car.
That's absurd.
I don't know. That's just a theory.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. But like, no, you knew what the paint was going to weigh.
Hopefully. I mean, well.
Anyway, hopefully it'll make it. Maybe it'll make an appearance in Miami.
Yeah.
When all of their
special livery.
Celebrity investors will be there.
Totally.
With us.
Totally. So celebrity investors.
They'll be inside somewhere. We're going to be sweating in the corner.
Barely just hanging on for our lives. Next massive piece of news is that Charlotte Claire's ice cream store shop is officially open.
Why resist?
Ice cream is for sale. We have
I didn't know it was healthy ice cream.
Oh, well, I didn't know that I knew it was healthy.
It's 400 calories per tub. It's okay. So that you can enjoy.
Be an F1 driver.
And I was like, wait, you're telling me it's Halo Top Gelato? That is not what I was looking for.
No, and honestly.
And the branding is eerily similar.
I understand like people's desire for that kind of ice cream, but like.
No.
It's a big NO for me.
It's like an icy.
Yeah. Not even. And like icy's actually good.
Well, I know, but okay. So I remember I got like Halo Top chocolate once and I was like, oh, this will be good. It was like chocolate chip or something. It was like a fudgesicle in a tub. But it's like, if I wanted a fudgesicle, that's what I would have bought. And I didn't.
Right. Well, we had a listener who lives in Milan.
First of all, cool.
Who tried the ice cream and sent in their.
Oh my gosh. Thank
their
you.
Their ratings of the different. Flavors.
Do we have a price of the?
I don't see a price.
Okay.
So they said, okay, so there's four different flavors: chocolate, peanut butter, I think, pistachio, vanilla.
Of course.
So
vanilla.
For the chocolate, they said not so creamy as the others, very chocolatey. Chocolate chunks stay a little longer in the mouth.
Gross. That's healthy ice cream for you.
Favorite flavor. Peanut.
That was their favorite flavor?
That's what they said.
That's stressful.
Peanut, very creamy.
Okay.
Very strong peanut taste.
Okay.
So if you're not, you know, as big of, I'm not a super big fan of peanut butter, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. But I also.
Okay. I don't love like things that are so peanut flavored.
But what it makes me think of, and it's probably not true, but you know, when you have like natural peanut butter and it just tastes like an actual peanut, I'm concerned that that's the. The really peanutty flavor that they're talking about.
Pistachio, very creamy. Doesn't taste one bit like pistachio, but is just a cold cream.
That's brilliant.
And then
doesn't taste one bit like pistachio.
Vanilla is, they said,
first of all, I feel like we have a people exclusive right now. This is so fun. Thank you for sending this.
Vanilla, they said, I 100% understand why it's Charles' favorite. Very creamy, tastes very much like vanilla. And then they had ratings. So the chocolate, they gave 10 out of 10.
Okay.
Peanut, 7 out of 10.
Sure.
Pistachio, 5.5 out of 10.
For trying to be pistachio.
And vanilla, 9 out of 10.
Nice.
So if you're in Milan and you're looking to try some ice cream, hit up Lick.
Now, I'm also curious, have we seen interior shots? I haven't. I don't know
maybe.
If they're public.
I can't remember if we saw it in the like promo videos.
Okay, because I just wasn't sure if it's like a place where you get a scoop or if you have to buy the pints.
The pint, yeah. I think you might have to buy the pints.
That's fine.
I could be wrong though, but I would love for him to start selling this internationally across the pond in the States.
Yeah, well, that's why I was glad to see that they're already in pints. Yeah. Like he's not just starting off with a one scoop, two scoop place. A creamery, if you will.
I always wish it was a creamery. Like,
No. Those are the creamery setting is for like the pop-ups, but we need it to be able to travel.
Sure. So anyway, I just, again, once again, Charlotte Claire, the mind of Charlotte Claire is one of just
my favorite thing is that in the promo, he said, my number one priority is to be the best Formula One driver on the grid. And then he introduced all the people that made the ice cream.
I mean,
I know he was involved, but it's just funny.
He's proving that you can have priorities and then you can also have side quests.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people make merch. Some people make tequila.
Non-alcoholic.
Non-alcoholic. And he may. We should get, at some point, once we can buy this stuff in the States, I think we should have, it could be fun to do a video where we try all the different.
Absolutely.
Various.
Are there any other consumables
that are from F1 drivers?
Consumables. Besides the alcohol.
Besides alcohol.
And no, I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of. But we could just do a shopping party or something. Is there going to be an Enchanté drop anytime soon? My wallet is full.
Don't say that.
I'm kidding. No, it's just, I'm surprised. Usually, doesn't he do one for Miami typically?
I don't know.
In the 1.5 years he's had this business?
I don't know. Maybe he's trying to focus on his driving.
He's not doing the whole thing by himself.
I know, but like he's a perception. He's trying to make it seem. Sure. Not trying to make it seem. Who knows? I don't know. I don't have an inside line. What?
Nothing.
Just very quickly, we love a crossover here.
Yep.
And there was a lot of F1 tennis crossover. The Monte Carlo Masters happened last week. And George went with Carmen. Lando was there. Carlos was there. So again, just love seeing the sport crossover moments. F1 in tennis,
yep.
Tennis in Formula One. Mm-hmm. It just kind of keeps on happening. So loved seeing that. And then the final piece of news before we get into the who's most likely to questions is that the F1 calendar has already been released for 2025, which seems very early.
It does seem early. Color me shocked.
But a lot of changes on the grid or in the calendar for next year. So we are back to, after a couple of years of starting the season in Bahrain, we are now going back to starting the season in Australia, which I just feel like
I'm excited.
Is the right, and I am once again, I really want to go to the Australian GP.
Yep.
Like that to me is just, I feel like
home.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's I think a place where I feel a lot of connection.
Well, maybe we just start a campaign. Send Hannah and Zoe to Australia.
We already put out a plea to Qantas.
Yeah.
But any other, if you know, we want to go to, what's the party?
Glamour on the grid.
Glamour on the grid.
And I'm going to need a stylist because I have no glamour. Which is fine.
You do have glamour. You just don't, we're never in positions to wear full-length ball gowns. No, of course.
That's why I said I would need a stylist. If it's just a friend. I mean, you know.
And I just think, even if Daniel's not on the grid next year, I mean, Oscar, we love. And just the Aussie spirit and...
Australians are the best.
They're the best.
Yeah. Valtteri Bottas.
Yeah. Who knows if he'll be on the grid, but you never know.
True.
But ever since, our lips are sealed. Actually, ever since... Well, I can't remember what came first, if I went to Australia first or if I saw the movie first. But either way, ever since I was a kid... I've always felt a kinship.
Yes.
So anyway, starting the season off in Australia, then they go to China. They're doing a lot better job with the geographic
as
locations next year, which I
wonder
I think
if Seb's on the board somehow. Not
he
there's
got,
a board,
he needs to be in charge of everything.
Yeah, he needs to come back immediately.
Australia, China, Japan.
Oh wow, good for them! What a nice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Then they go to Bahrain, Saudi Arabia.
Guys, I'm so nice proud grouping. Of you all.
Now, there's a little bit of a break, but it's because, so then you go to Miami for round six, but that's because they can't put Miami, you would think they should put it with like Austin and with Vegas, but in the fall, it's like hurricane season,
Danger zone. It's
not a good time for them to be in Miami. Yes.
So is it in May again or
it's
April?
In May.
Okay.
Same first weekend of May.
Yeah.
Imola, Monaco, Spain, we have Canada thrown in there, but again, weather. And then it's kind of pretty much the same. They kept Baku in, actually, people were talking about what race is happening on your birthday weekend. Like people were talking about which one was happening. And unfortunately, yours is not in season, but mine is Baku.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I thought you meant like for me specifically. I was like, why were they talking about if
no. Race... People were saying which race weekend falls on your birthday.
I was like, well, that's nice for them to think of me, but how random. But hopefully Drive to Survive will come out on my birthday weekend again.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then they've put Qatar as the second to last, as the penultimate race.
Nice word.
Then to go to Abu Dhabi. So they have Qatar and Abu Dhabi together. Which again makes sense. Well, you know, we've seen the issues with them having it, what was it, October last year?
Yeah.
So pushing it to end of November is obviously smarter. And then also geographically to go from Qatar to Abu Dhabi.
Well, credit where credit's due.
So
hats off, boys.
Good job.
Gals.
Yeah. And we have the nice string of Austin, Mexico City, Brazil, Vegas. So again, pretty geographically all together there. So again, 24 races. I mean, Spa's back on the calendar again. Who knows how long that's going to be there? No major changes, no additions, no subtractions from the calendar. So everyone start planning your trips, figuring out which one you want to go to. I would love to go to an international race. And I don't know specifically. I don't know. I feel called to the Oceania Asia regions for some reason. Like Japan would be so fun.
Yeah, it would be fun.
I also feel like they would, like, I would feel like nice kinship with the Japanese people too. So
you just got so excited you forgot how to speak. I just feel like it would, I'm so excited.
Just, I would feel happy there. I'm excited about that. Okay. Should we get to our who's most likely to questions?
Yes.
So we did get a lot, which
Thank
is
you, everyone.
Wonderful. So I don't know that we'll be able to get through all of them, but we'll get through as many as we can. Sorry, I'm just trying to find where
no problem,
we
dude.
Kept all of them. And yeah, this was fun the last time we did it, like last year, I think. So it's going to be good.
Yeah. And if you're watching on YouTube, answer along in the comments because I'm curious. I always get curious about what other people say for these things.
Right. Okay. First question. Who's most likely to be seen at the Eras Tour this spring summer? I guess we haven't seen any of them at the Eras Tour. So,
well, I could see Pierre getting an invite from Trav.
Yep. And Esteban.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's who is most likely to.
Totally.
Just the one who, although I'll have multiple who's for all of these.
Yeah, exactly.
I could see Alex being taken
by
Lily.
Yeah.
And we have a cheat sheet here because sometimes we forget to say some of the drivers. So if you look, see me looking down, that's why. I feel like Daniel would have a good time and maybe Lando.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, they would all go, but for such different reasons. Like some of them I feel like would genuinely go because they felt called to go on their own and or like
called to go.
Yeah. Whereas some I feel like Esteban, maybe his girlfriend would be interested in having him go and he would do that. But like, I don't think he's going unless, like, even if he got invited by Travis, I think he maybe would like not be totally into
it. Okay.
But he might immediately be converted once on the scene, as so many people are.
Daniel will be devastated to show up and to find out that our song is not part of the set list.
So true.
As we all are, because first of all, why is debut not on the set list? Why is it not part of the Eras Tour? I don't understand why that album is
not. It is curious, but you know Taylor, she has a reason.
I guess. It just seems weird. Give us our song. That song is so good and it's so fun.
Yeah,
it
but maybe so it'll be a secret song the day that Daniel's
That's
there
so
because
true.
She knows he's there.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
And she knows that random obscure video where he was singing it.
Yeah, she's so kept it.
She's a smart gal.
Totally. Totally. Okay. Who's most likely to beat Max in Equal Machinery? Like, okay, here's, I'm going to make it a little bit more specific because I feel like it's not fair to be putting somebody into the other Red Bull when like Max is so comfortable in the Red Bull. So let's pretend that you take Max and whoever, you put them in two different cars, like you put them in the McLaren or put them in both drivers would be in cars they don't typically drive. Who do you actually think has the best shot at?
Lewis or Fernando?
Yeah. It's so interesting, right? Because we obviously have no
Genuinely,
idea.
I have no
and
idea.
We can't, I mean, I guess we can with Lewis and Fernando because they were teammates at one point in time and Lewis did beat Fernando. So I guess you could say Lewis is better than him.
Yeah.
But for so many of these drivers, we just don't know because they never were teammates or they haven't been teammates.
And even the Equal Machinery piece is like, there's still some gaps in the equality of said machinery, I feel like. Just even like their setups are just a little different. Like,
or it's like someone's coming into a team where the car is already a certain way that's not favorable to their driving style.
But even
whatever.
If we take it off and just make it like a street race kind of vibe and like just a road car just for fun, because whatever. That's so my answer, I think.
I'm also going to throw out, I'd be curious about Lando.
Sure.
I would be curious about him in Equal Machinery. Would pique my interest. Charles Leclerc, I could say, but I, in some ways I feel more interested in Lando.
Well, I think Charles, I have not seen enough aggressiveness from Charles when in when putting him in equal machinery against Max.
Mm.
You know, that incident and stuff. Like, I feel like I could see him being hesitant in certain places where, like, Lando's just going to go full send.
Sure.
And then, obviously, Fernando and Lewis have literally nothing to lose.
Well, or everything to lose.
No.
They've been losing
for a long time.
Well, in terms of their, I'm saying, like, their legacy, if Max beats them.
Oh, in equal machinery. Yes, sure, sure, sure.
They would then, it's, oh my gosh, you know.
Fair.
Okay, who's most likely to date a fan? Now, this is such a tough question because is it a screaming, crying person? Yeah,
this has always been a hard one.
Or is it someone who watches Formula One and knows who they are but is not obsessed?
Yeah, okay, so this is going to I'm going to feel cringy when I say this out loud, but these dumb books I've been reading.
Okay.
I'm in a baseball series at the moment and I don't remember what they call them, but like the girls who seem cool on the surface, but they're like, they figure out the floor that the guys are staying on and they haunt the hallways until someone allows them to join them in the room.
Got it.
That I feel like is what that's more the vibe of like, they are there on purpose.
Yeah.
They know who they're going after, but they're not like sobbing because they make eye contact with the person.
Got
it. They might even be obvious about it, but they're like, cool girl.
I actually think this is a very easy
question. Yeah, it's Lando. I never once thought it would be anyone else. I just wanted to set this scene for everybody. Because he would be afraid of someone who's screaming, crying in his face.
100% it's Lando.
Yeah, but just like the hot girl who's like, hey, Lando, want to hook up? Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. That's funny.
Yeah. And maybe single Pierre.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But definitely Lando.
Okay. Which F1 driver is most likely to meet an absolute A-list celebrity but have no clue in the world who they actually are?
Yuki.
I don't know. Yuki's knowledge of Jason Statham and other actors.
Jason Statham.
I feel like I think he has more knowledge.
Okay. All right.
Honestly, it's Checo.
That's fair.
Like the Checo that was
he's always
so,
just so
confused,
lost.
Was so confused during the Vegas intros. Like that's what's happening. He's meeting somebody. He has no effing idea.
It felt like
are.
He was at like high school graduation and waiting for him to get his diploma, but the guy didn't have anything to give him. It was like, go away, walk off the stage.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
God, that whole thing was such a nightmare.
The only person that liked him was Daniel.
Well, but then he just like the cars left oil,
yeah.
And like no one.
Remember, Lewis had to get in. Who was he sharing a car with?
I think he ended up squishing.
Oh, with Checo.
Checo and.
It was just
George, though.
No, it was just Checo.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was Checo. Because we were joking about how their dads were probably so happy that they were together.
They probably were. Especially Checo's dad.
Yeah, exactly.
What a happy man. What was the question?
Who's most likely to be an A-list celebrity? I think it's...
Although I feel like... No, maybe not. I was going to say maybe... I could see Oscar maybe not totally knowing.
Yeah,
but he
that's
has enough sisters, that he's got to have... Pop
he's also
culture
young
knowledge by
enough.
Proxy.
Well, I guess it depends who this famous person is.
Totally.
Right? If it's someone young, someone older, who
true.
Knows?
Because like a famous TikToker, like half the grid's not going to know who that person is.
No.
But we're talking like A-list.
I guess so. Like,
Checo's the perfect answer. We can move on.
Okay. Which F1 driver is most likely to answer the phone at night if you call them and need a ride, help bail them out?
Lewis.
Okay. You think he's going to answer the phone
for the right
middle
person?
Of the night? I see him as like a
do not disturb
phones in the other room type of guy.
Hmm.
Personally. But I think he is somebody who if someone needed him,
yeah,
he would do it.
I also think Charles
Leclerc 100%.
Yeah.
Sleeps with his phone completely
all the way on.
On and is frantically answering it in the middle of the night.
And probably is like so used to having it on at full volume all the time that he doesn't wake up.
George.
Yeah.
George is answering. George is coming. He's gonna help you out. He's gonna do it. Mm-hmm. He's gonna figure it out.
I think Valtteri for the right person would also.
Yeah.
But the right person.
Totally. Which F1 driver is most likely to be voted best smile?
That's hard. Well, Daniel.
I was gonna say, I think it's Daniel.
Yeah.
Biggest smile.
Yeah, sure. Megawatt.
big, like most teeth shown.
Yeah. Yeah. He gets them all in there.
I'm trying to even think of, I can't even think of anybody else who smiles.
Well, so
big.
Subjective. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everyone likes something a little different in a smile. Like, I know that sounds stupid, but it's true. Like, Charles also has a fantastic smile.
He does have a great smile, but it's like a softer smile.
I know. And then like Lando has a really good fuckboy smile. And it's just kind of like, what are you in the mood for? So if we're talking traditional classic smile, it's Daniel.
Yeah. Like in school, he probably would have been. Well, his teeth were not quite as good.
No, but
yeah. That's why you get braces. Mm-hmm. All right. Which F1 driver is most likely to listen to the pod?
Ooh.
I mean, who's a podcast person, first of all? I don't know that many of them are.
I don't know that many of them
it's gotta
are.
It's
got to
be
either.
Someone young and someone with a good sense of humor that doesn't take themselves too seriously.
But I don't think he'd actually listen.
I don't think he'd listen.
I could see a world in which George tunes in for a little bit until we say something that he doesn't like.
I'm going to say Pierre.
Okay.
That's my guess.
I would also love to say that Alex would listen on accident because Lily's listening to
it. Oh, sure. That'd be fun. I would love that.
Like any of them, if they any of them have listened, have seen it. Like that's the thing too that I'm just like, your For You page must be like you are on TikTok, so don't you get a lot of you? Like I just wonder what their For You pages are like.
I know. Oh, I know. Oh, there our content's been seen by lots of people.
Weird. I would wonder what we said when they saw it.
Yeah, it's anyway. A little scary sometimes.
Something weird.
Become a TV commentator after their racing career is over.
Daniel Ricciardo. And I could see Fernando doing it.
Well,
too.
I don't think Daniel will be a commentator like Martin. He's not going to do race commentary.
No, I guess I'm thinking post-race interview vibes.
Kind of part of the team.
Yeah.
Creating content
yes.
on video.
Yeah.
But is more, maybe it's more like sit down content during a race weekend that's not necessarily.
Yeah.
It's more packaged.
Like he's not going to be
Martin
Crofty
Brundle.
Or yeah, something yeah. But like
that would be he would be so bad
but like
that.
The what like Laura does a little bit of what Will does yep. like having those group like the panel conversations
yeah, post,
in
yeah,
the
post race
yeah,
talking yeah,
that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
stuff
yeah yeah totally.
He definitely wouldn't be able to use the video board though, the Sky Sports like touchscreen video board that he no I think that requires I mean I have a hard time doing it. I feel like that he would just it's too much training.
Well, he's also you're not well, I was going to not give him. I was going to say he's not necessarily someone you pick because he's going to offer you tons of insight. Though actually, I think he would have a lot.
I think he
does have insight. I just don't think he presents as somebody who, when you think of him, you're not thinking of, oh, he's such a technical, he knows everything about an F1 car. Knows,
yeah.
But he does. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
He'll have a nice career for himself.
Agreed.
Okay. Who's most likely to be in Slytherin?
Max. But not really. You think?
Well, I mean, Slytherin.
I guess Slytherins aren't always mean.
They're not evil.
They're just like
yeah. They're more kind of like my. Not that anyone else here knows who my mom is, but like my mom would be a Slytherin.
Understood.
Fernando, 100%. Mm-hmm. I think Lando would be a Slytherin.
Yep.
I think Pierre would be a Slytherin. Mm-hmm. Anyone that's got a little bit of a cheeky side to them.
Yeah.
I could see like
Lance.
Joe being a one too.
Like not a quiet one?
But like just because he's cool. I think
yeah.
if you're cool,
you're a Slytherin.
Lewis could be a Slytherin.
Yeah.
But Lewis is Gryffindor.
Yeah.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
Same.
That's why we're
cute
podcast partners, which are the nice, loyal. Honestly, the only claim to fame that we have is that Robert Pattinson, aka Cedric Diggory, was a Hufflepuff. R.I.P.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Okay. Who's most likely to get secretly engaged, married, and have no one find out? I'm gonna say Lewis.
I was gonna say, yeah, Fernando. I could see being like really under, like he could be married right now for all we know, and then just like pop it out in a year or so. I could see Pierre being kind of under the radar about it and just like
really
throwing it into photo three of a dump at some point.
I don't feel like he's an under. I feel like he kind of lets you know everything about his life.
Yeah, but in that it like, I could see, I don't know. It could be a fun, like, big reveal situation.
Totally get the likes on Instagram.
Yeah. Also, no. Never mind.
What?
Well, I was going to say, the amount of times I've seen the photo of Carlos's girlfriend is so... the one where she was compared to George.
Oh, yeah.
It's startling every time I see it. Because it's just not a good representation of...
her.
Yeah. But I was thinking Carlos, and then I was like, no, I don't see Carlos getting
secretly married.
No, I see him getting really publicly married when he finally finds the person that he doesn't feel like being disloyal to.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have no idea of anything.
That's why I said allegedly.
Yeah. Okay, who's most likely to listen to show tunes?
Charles. Daniel.
I see him like having absolutely zero knowledge of musicals. Kind of. I could see it being like a big, he could either know something like stuff about it or like nothing at all.
Yeah, sure.
I think Alex Albon could be a show tune guy.
George. It's got show tune potential.
Yuki could be a show tune guy. That would be funny.
Wouldn't it be funny if just like out of nowhere, Checo was like a big show tunes guy?
He loves Defying Gravity.
Yeah. First of all, who doesn't? It's fantastic in every version ever made. Oh, it's so good. God, I miss Glee. I do not miss Will Schuster, but I do miss Glee. What a time that was.
Reflecting back on that show, it's such a weird show. Yes. Like, it's so crazy that it was even... I mean, it was great at the time, but it's also so bizarre too.
Incredibly bizarre.
But
it was loved the beauty of it. Yeah.
I absolutely loved it.
Fantastic.
Who's most likely to be on our podcast?
Ugh.
That's a great question.
That is a good question.
I mean, it depends on I think it's different because it's who is literally most likely to, who's the easiest one that we could get on, / who's the one that would actually enjoy being on our podcast.
That's
true. They're kind of two different questions because I feel like the one we could get on is, let's say it on three. 3, 2, 1.
Logan.
Which we'd be honored to have Logan on our show. And honestly, at this point, like, please come on our show. Speak your truth. Like,
yeah, amen.
Well, this is a platform for you to share.
Yeah, because I'm feeling, my heart's hurting for him.
Yeah. Miami, like, we're going to be there supporting Logan Sargent.
And others. 19 other people.
But I will be hoping for success for him.
Absolutely.
Home race, mm-hmm. Florida guy. But America. In terms of who would have the most fun on our podcast, I mean,
they're really
like to
all
think Yuki would have a good time.
Yeah, they're really, most of them are pretty bad at interviews.
Totally.
So we couldn't go in like normal interview vibes.
I mean, Daniel has had podcast experience, right? So
true.
He's used to a podcast. He would
yeah.
understand the vibe.
Totally.
I
feel like
there's a lot of them I think that would kind of just
yeah.
give us half of themselves.
I feel like Charles could be fun if he felt comfortable enough and didn't feel like we were crazy fangirls.
Yeah.
And then based on Lando's experience on Chicken Shop Date, like, I'm not mm-hmm. really sure.
Yep.
But I would think before that I would have said yes.
Yep.
And I don't know. That's, I think, really all I got. I think, I don't know if Lance would have any fun. Alex could maybe have some fun.
I think he could too.
And that would be fun. How many times have I said fun?
Don't count.
God, definitely. Okay. If I can't talk in front of you, I'm certainly going to just ruin it in front of all of these people.
This is funny. Who's most likely to participate in a historic reenactment?
George.
100%. He's reenacting some form of something from British history.
Yeah, absolutely. And then
100%.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because I feel like some of them, like, I think George would do it seriously, and I think there's a lot of people that would do it as like a haha funny. Like, I could see Valtteri doing like a ad bit in reenactment form.
Yes.
Or something.
Totally.
I don't know. I also just want to apologize to Nico and Kevin that we haven't said your name once. It's just like it hasn't come up. But I love you.
Who's most likely to read a fantasy book series like ACOTAR or Fourth Wing?
Ooh.
I mean, do any of these guys read?
I don't know, but I immediately thought that Yuki and Pierre could have a fun book club hosted by Kika. Because that's how they heard about it, obviously.
Oh, from a girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true. I could see like Oscar quietly really enjoying it.
I could see Alex reading it.
Totally. And he wouldn't be quiet about it. I think he'd be loud and proud.
Yeah.
As loud and proud as he
You know, but okay. But who would... This is the person I think would actually find it and really enjoy it. Charlotte Claire.
Yeah. But I do think that, most of them would enjoy it once they got into it.
No, I'm saying he would
find it on his own.
Yeah.
He saw it on TikTok.
He's not being convinced by somebody else to read it.
Sure.
He is choosing to read it and he is...
Recommending it to the boys.
Fully engrossed.
Yeah. I wonder if Max would like it.
Yeah. Maybe Max is a big fantasy guy.
Max has a read. Max is in the sim.
Who would knowingly start a cult?
Fernando. I don't know if that's true, actually. It's the closest out of the bunch, though.
Yeah. I mean, Fernando is definitely... It's more, probably more MLM than...
Totally.
Than cult. Like, yeah. He's not trying to be...
He believes it. Full stop. I did see this TikTok the other day that was like, the only acceptable MLM is Pamper Chef, and I couldn't agree more. Pamper Chef is fantastic.
It was, yeah. It
we
is.
Still have Pamper Chef things from when my mom went to a party once.
Yeah, I know.
And
my mom
great.
Used to go to parties too. Okay, final one. Who's most likely to stand you up on a date?
55% of the grid, probably 55. More than that. No, it's the first number that came out.
Most likely, I mean. Probably Lando.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. Yeah. Which is because he's hooking up with the fan.
Yeah, he's definitely ghosting. He's not.
Yeah,
interested. Which is, you know, fine.
Shouldn't have asked me out then.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true. That's very, very true. Okay. Thank you to everyone who sent in those questions. A lot of fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
Sure,
I like doing
we
those.
Didn't get probably got to only half of them, so we'll do this again, I'm sure, at some point. And because they're fun, it's fun.
They
to
are fun.
Dissect. Okay, let's do our fan and foe. Want to okay. share your fan?
Yeah. So I saw this. I think you had sent me the video initially, but it was this guy who was like, he's like, I don't watch Formula One, but my friend just showed me this guy, and it was Charles, and. It's just, I really find it funny, like, seeing people, like, find them for the first time.
Yeah.
But he posted another video that I saw today where he was like, so I've done my homework because you guys all told me, that I need to go look at all of them. And he was showing pictures of Carlos with the ice bath.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's thirsting for Lance. And it was amazing.
Did you send to Emma?
I didn't. I should have.
You should.
But I also just thought it was so funny because there's just so many follow-up questions I'd like to ask him.
Yeah.
He's not wrong. Lance has a lot of moments of being really hot.
Of course. And again, it's all subjective here.
Yeah. And then he referred to Nico as daddy. And I just wanted you to know that. Because, well, I just thought it would make you do that. And then Toto, and he's like, apparently this guy isn't a driver, but wow.
Toto, I can understand.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Anyone with a pulse can understand.
Well
not anyone. Most
yeah.
people.
Some don't. That was funny. I loved that. So my fan is not necessarily F1 related, but I'm going to bring it back to F1, and I'm going to keep it in my last week hyperfixation, which was college basketball.
Yeah.
So, and I should also say, because I know we have a lot of international listeners who are probably like, what's the deal with college basketball and March Madness, and why do people in America care about it? But
it's a good question.
You know, it's a basketball tournament that happens every year where 68 teams get selected based on their season to play in this single elimination tournament to figure out who's the champion of college basketball that year. And it's, people get very into it. People who don't mm-hmm. follow college basketball get into it. It's kind of brings the country together, you know?
Yeah.
And we found out last week that the women's final had more viewers than the men's final. Mm-hmm. The women's final got 18.8 million people to watch, and the men got 14.4. And it was so funny because, so the women's final was on at 3 p.m. on a Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and it was on ABC. So it was on basic television,
yep.
which I think definitely helps the ratings. But the men's final was on Monday night at like 8 something on TNT or TBS or something. And the men that I saw in the comments sections of like Instagram posts, Twitter, being like, well, the reason that the men's final has less people is because it was on at 8:20 p.m. on a Monday and blah, 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 it was a late start and this, that, the other, which I'm like, okay, first of all, a lot more people are home on a Monday evening mm-hmm. than they are at home on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Like, that's just first things first.
Yep.
Okay. The second thing, which a lot of people said, which was funny, was that the semifinal, semifinal college game between Iowa and UConn in the women's game, which was on a Friday night on only ESPN at like 8 something, a Friday night, which no one's home on Friday night, had 14 million people tune in. So just as many as the men's final. So it was like their reasoning
was stupid and dumb.
But I loved seeing now all these guys having like trying to come up with excuses as for why they had less followers.
Also, it was like the men's game was the most boring lineup of all
time.
There was no story involved.
Exactly.
It was so boring.
No, yeah.
I did not watch.
No, it was so boring. But to bring it back to Formula One, I think it's just such a great example of like, when you actually invest time and energy and like financial resources, and also you like showcase the talent and like the people, and you, and to your point, like you create these storylines and like you show people's, because people love connecting to like a
cause.
Well, like a person that they feel like they want to root for, right? And that's part of the reason why Drive to Survive translated so well to Formula One. It's like you get to know these people and you then want to watch them and root for them. And so when you showcase who these players are and these athletes are, and you build like a connection with them, you then want to watch them do their sport. So I loved seeing that. I hope that this continues like in other sports and other areas. And it's just also like puts to bed the whole idea of like nobody watches women's sports. Nobody cares about women's sports. And also on the college basketball front, because obviously now Caitlin Clark's my favorite athlete of all time.
Yeah, sure.
I saw on TikTok.
Move over Mia Hamm.
Oh, yeah. I've always loved Mia Hamm. But, you know, those were my childhood days.
I know.
But
you're mature now.
She apparently, I saw on TikTok, because now my TikTok is college basketball themed. Or just like, it's... This is a side note, but like, does your I feel like my algorithm changes all the time.
I would like to talk to you about my algorithm in just a moment.
But anyway, she recently followed Alex Cooper, and Alex Cooper recently followed her.
She's going to be on Caller
Daddy. But I would also like to say, in that same vein, New Heights, Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce, get Caitlin Clark on your podcast. She is a avid diehard Chiefs fan.
Oh my gosh, that would be so amazing.
You guys you love basketball. Travis played basketball. Like, that is the is the crossover we need and we want.
So good. Is she 52?
What?
Do we know if she's a 50?
She's a Taylor Swift fan. And yeah, she went to one of the concerts and her favorite song's Enchanted. I know you like that. But she also said back in the early days of Taylor and Travis dating, she was asked like at one of her media days, like how long she thought Taylor and Travis were going to be together. And this was like a month into them dating. And she said, I think they're going to get married.
Bless.
So she's been
good for her
on the Tavis train from day one. So
still
anyway,
hate that couple name.
I know. So I would like to see, that. And now my Caitlin Clark discussions are over.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pick up where you left off with the algorithm. So, cause it's not totally the same, but it's kind of the same. So I ended up on WrestleMania TikTok.
It's so funny because genuinely when you interact with like one video, it then completely changes your algorithm forever.
Yes. So, okay. WrestleMania, is WrestleMania global? Do I need to explain what it is? Anyway, WWE, it's wrestling. It's people get mad if you say it's not a real sport. Like, it's mania, but it's very choreographed. It's very, staged.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's entertainment. It is like it's a wrestling musical.
It's theater.
Yeah, it is.
It's theater, yeah.
I was also listening to John Cena on Armchair Expert. I really enjoy him. And I just thought he was like a dumb wrestler. And he's multifaceted.
Of course.
And anyway.
We're all enjoying new athletes.
Yeah. So, oh, Jesus. So, I saw this one clip that WrestleMania is like their big event where they bring all the wrestlers together. I'm sure I'm messing this up and I'm going to piss someone off and that's fine. So it was the 40-year anniversary. And so they brought in a lot of new people. So, or not new people, old people. So like The Rock came back and that was a huge deal, whatever. Now, I do have to say, like, I did watch wrestling as a child. My brother and I, well, my brother was really into it, and there we had one TV. So I also watched wrestling. We got really into it. I've seen Raw and SmackDown live. Anyway. And so I knew who a lot of these people were because they're still employed with the WWE. And so The Rock's on stage, you know, in the ring, and it's like this whole thing. And then all these guys are like twitching, streaming it, and the lights go off and everyone loses their mind because the Undertaker's music starts. Now, I imagine the Undertaker has been on sabbatical for a hot minute.
Of course.
When I tell you, and I felt what they have felt, these guys lost their minds. Some of them were crying. Some of them were standing up and running around like they couldn't believe that this was happening in front of their eyes. And I just have to tell you, same. You want to know why I'm crying at Taylor Swift? Why are you crying at WrestleMania 40? We're all on the same team here. We have different interests.
Yeah.
But we're all fan girls and boys in our hearts. And I need you to stop hating. So I had my old coworker is obsessed with wrestling. And when I saw it, I knew that he probably reacted just like this. So I sent it to him and I said, is this how you reacted? And then I got 1,500 videos of WrestleMania reactions. Yeah. So I just want to say, we are all fangirls and boys. I have receipts. So if anyone tries to hate on me for being an obsessed girl, again, I will point you to WrestleMania 40 and the Twitch reactions from said event.
I also saw, not to keep
no, it's fun.
College basketball.
No, please.
But to your point about people hating on people, there was this, and I can't even remember who the player was, honestly, but there was a video of a like young girl, maybe like 7 or 8, and she was getting her like jersey signed by someone. I can't remember who it was. A woman's like a college player.
Yeah, I remember. I saw this,
and
she started crying,
and like, of course, I would. You know, if you're meeting like someone that you look up to, like it's an emotional thing. But a lot of people, and I've seen this in multiple videos and stuff, people being like, why are they crying?
Why do you care?
To a child, though. I'm like, you guys.
Now, to be fair, I do think she was like, at least the one I saw, she was like 13 years old.
Oh, okay.
But so what?
Yeah.
You've never cried from joy before?
Yeah. It's an touch grass experience.
Touch grass.
I cried seeing Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I got emotional. I will say it has always shocked me. Like when I saw
One Direction,
I did not cry. But like I thought I was gonna. But I think I was just so like
overwhelmed.
This can't be real.
Yeah, I cried. I cried when Taylor Swift sang "Long Live," mostly because of "Long Live," not because I mean at that point we'd
been there for a while,
a couple hours.
We were pretty far into it at that point.
And I cried when I saw Coldplay for the first time.
Yeah.
But just like a singular, it wasn't like sobbing.
No,
I never
stopped. Me neither. And but I also like understand what people like. I cry at commercials sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
You just get an overwhelming sense of emotion,
totally.
And like for you know the first time in a while, like maybe ever, like college women's basketball is on the map right now,
yes.
And these girls are being exposed to like you know young girls have probably watched women's basketball in college for a long time, but it's like now they're being shown and they see them and they know who they are. And so not only is it kind of a celebrity,
oh, totally,
but it's 100%. A hero and like touch grass, dude. First of all, any adults making commentary on the internet, comments, stitches, anything about why a child's crying about anything it's literally none of your business. Get off the internet.
Yeah, it's just so crazy. So anyway, your foe...
the internet. No. Honestly, it's like it's lame, but the Fernando thing's like it's just started the process and it's gonna it's just stress me out.
Yeah, it's gonna be a stressful few months.
I said this I think last week on the episode, but it's like as someone who really likes to know what the hell's going on, I've picked the wrong sport.
Yeah. But the reality is
it's fun. It'll be a fun journey.
None of us watching here, listening, whatever, can control anything that happens. So we just have to let the chips
fall where they may. We didn't even practice that, you guys.
If you know, you know. My foe is that I you know this. I don't know if other people know this, how important sleep is to me and how much I love my
sleep. You have talked about it a few times. Okay. But
and this upcoming weekend is just my sleep's going to be destroyed because Thursday night, Taylor Swift album drops.
Right.
At midnight.
Right, right.
So got to stay up to listen to that. And then we have the China weekend. And as we've seen from Japan, though I try to fall asleep,
your body won't allow it.
I shoot up at random hours.
And you can't your body doesn't let you sleep in either.
It actually, not last week, but the weekend before Japan, I slept really well.
Oh, good.
I slept till like 9:30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which for me, was big. But anyway, so I'm just bracing myself for like not a lot of sleep next weekend, but that's okay because once China's over, at least for us selfishly, we're back on a good schedule for us over here in the States. Because I can handle the 8 a.m. Sunday race. Mm-hmm. That's totally doable for me.
Totally.
So anyway, one more weekend and then I'll be good to go.
Love it.
All right. Anything else to add?
Probably,
from
but
this week?
We've talked enough.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this episode. Oh, and I should say too, we did get some people that wrote in reviews on Apple Pod. So
thanks,
very
everyone.
Much appreciate. Maybe next week we'll like share a couple of them on the pod as a thank you. And then those that have rated us on Spotify in our race to 1,000 ratings.
We're getting close.
We're getting very close. So if you haven't already, please do so. We'd really appreciate it. And excited for change in China.
If you listen to our pyramid ranking. Our next pyramid is going to have a new Luke.
It's going to be, we're going to have a change in China.
Oh my gosh. Never mind.
What? Say it.
Nah.
Okay.
I was just going to say we should watch the race and order Chinese food next weekend, but that's like.
The race is on at 2:00 in the morning.
That's why I stopped.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening if you're still listening. And
yeah, for real.
We'll see you guys next week.
Enchanté.